I encourage you to take your Bibles, please, and turn to Psalm 119. Psalm 119. I'm going to do a brief series. You said, Pastor, that's not possible. You can't do a brief series. Well, I plan to do a brief series, let's put it that way, on the principle of freedom of conscience. We just celebrated the 242nd birthday of our nation. How many of you are glad that you were born in the United States of America? I'm very thankful. Having just come from Canada and the liberalism that's just apparent everywhere, you see it on how they operate the country, how they operate their cities. Every once in a while, I think on our tram journey from the airport to I saw one church. And I went online just to check it out. And it was a Baptist church. It was in Richmond, which was the suburb in which the airport is located. But in America, you see churches everywhere. You don't see that in Canada. Very few of those that are there. And there's a reason for that. In Canada, they have been prosecuting pastors who have dared to preach God's word in regard to the principles of what God calls righteousness. And because of that, they basically sought to quell the preaching of the Word of God. They put poured cold water on that, so to speak. And so they don't have very many churches in Canada. I'm thankful that I was born in the United States of America. How many of you are thankful for the Constitution? I'm thankful for the Constitution. How many of you know and understand that the Constitution is under attack today? They started on the Bible. And now they've moved to the Constitution, because the Constitution was put together by our framers, founding fathers, who many of them were believers, not all of them, but they understood biblical principles, and they built the Constitution on the foundation of the Bible. That was their fundament. Many of them, if you read the Federalist Papers or you go through and read some of the other founding documents, assumed everyone's understanding and knowledge of the Bible. And one of the great founding principles, and you have to go back to the pilgrims to understand and know this, was the freedom of conscience. The freedom of conscience. That is the great principle that has made America what it is. It was a principle that was not found in England. In England, they had government, and they had coerced religion. The pilgrims dared to separate from the Church of England. They became dissenters, separatists, because they did not believe that they should be coerced to worship as the government said they ought to worship. In England, as a matter of fact, one of the kings of England had a crown built that would fit on top of the papal hat. For he wore both hats. You ever heard the expression, wearing many hats? Well, that's where that came from. Where the crown and the papal hat was worn by the king, he wore both hats. He was government and he was religion. And you see that throughout history. If you go back to the early beginnings, around 430 A.D., there were individuals, one king in particular, Theodosius, who was a quote-unquote Christian king, made a decree. You either become a Christian or you'll be beheaded. Now, how's that for evangelism? You know? Is that how it works? You either become a Christian or we're going to behead you. We're going to kill you. Do you realize? Yeah. You realize that for 1,000 years after that, that was at the beginning of what we know as the Middle Ages, the Dark Ages, as they were called, for 1,000 years, there was no difference between government and religion. And it was not until the Protestant Reformation where we saw the understanding and knowledge that God has made us free. One of the great verses of Scripture that was often quoted is found in Psalm 119. Look at verses 44 and 45. So shall I keep thy law continually forever and ever. And I will walk at liberty, for I seek thy precepts. The great principle that our founding fathers understood was that there should be the freedom of conscience to be able to exercise belief without being coerced to have one religion and that religion be instituted by the government. There were many, like the pilgrims who came to this country, because they wanted to have freedom of conscience. They wanted to rear their children according to conscience, according to what they had learned from God's Word, not from what they were told they should worship and how they should teach their children. The Puritans later who came over tried to institute a combination of government and religion again. Do you understand that? In the early days of the founding of our country, there were those, the Puritans, that said, we want to force everyone to believe like we do. Can you force people to become Christians? No. That is the sacred work of God's Spirit in each individual life where He draws people unto Himself. Isn't that the glorious thing? Yes, we communicate the truth of the gospel, but the Holy Spirit of God is the one that does the work in us. You don't conscript people to become Christians. That's how you populate your nation with people who are Christians in name only. And we have a boatload of those today, as we see on a regular basis. But on the anniversary of the founding of our nation, I think it's important for us to teach our children and to teach our teenagers and for us to refresh ourselves as adults about the importance of the freedom of conscience. There was an early founding father, lived in the 1600s. His name was Roger Williams. He had seen the utter failure of the Puritan movement in Massachusetts, of trying to conscript people to make them become Christians, trying to have no separation between the freedom of conscience and what was told by a government. And so he established Rhode Island, and he established the principle of the freedom of conscience. Now, there were many different faith groups that moved to Rhode Island because of that, but it was a principle that he established which became a key principle of the liberty that you and I enjoy even to this day. Even though it's been eroded, you and I have the liberty to gather together here at Grace Bible Church and be able to worship God according to the principles of God's Word and according to conscience without being told how you're to worship and who you're to worship. How many of you are thankful for that tonight? I'm thankful for that principle. We are one of the few nations on the entire planet that have that privilege. And what are we doing with that? We're squandering it away. The fundamental rights of religious freedom and conscience have been met with scorn by many in our nation and beyond for very different reasons. Some simply don't understand the issue because they've never been taught to think. Isn't that sad? We've lost the ability to think things through. We've just become a group of sheeple where you're just told how to think and that's how you think. Group think. God wants us to think biblically. He wants us to think according to the principles of His Word. Others refuse to accept the rights of religious people whose values leave no room for their sexual practices. The attacks are coming against Christians. We've had two major events before the Supreme Court recently. A very narrow victory for the baker there in Colorado. Very narrow victory. That they would be forced against their what? Their conscience. Trained by the Bible. We do not want to support your same-sex marriage, so we refuse to. You can buy any cake you want to that we have, but we're not going to tailor a special cake for you in order to support your marriage. We don't believe your marriage is God-honoring. They were going to be forced to do that. Narrow victory that came down. And there are a lot of Christians who are tired of culture warring. Did you get that? A lot of Christians that are getting tired of culture warring. Standing up, facing the attacks that come down against Christians. And so what happens is, because our knowledge of the Word of God is only minimal, we don't understand the principles upon which our nation was founded, biblical principles, We end up bowing the knee to the ideas and the behaviors that conflict with the Word of God. We bow the knee and worship the culture. Now, what is religious freedom? Have you thought it through? Well, I learned about it in history class. Well, that's not good enough. Are you listening to me, Christian school graduates? It's not good enough. Well, I learned about it in Christian school. You need to know what it means. Why people in the Revolutionary War fought and shed their blood so they would be delivered from the tyranny of a government that would not listen to them, no representation, but secondly, would conscribe them to a certain way of worship. And they said, we don't want to be told how to worship. We don't want to be told that we have to pay taxes with no representation. And it was biblical principles from God's Word that led them to the place we must fight against the tyranny against us. Can you imagine being told you must quarter these soldiers from the mother country and you must pay for them? You not only pay the taxes due us, but you must pay and feed and water their animals and take care of these soldiers in your home. You understand, as they write the Constitution and the Bill of Rights are included, why Amendment Number 1 is basically what has become known as the Conscience Clause of the Constitution, the First Amendment. The freedom to assemble, what had been taken away from the colonists. You assemble, you have to get a permit. You have to pay for a permit to assemble. The right to petition your government. Now, we take that for granted, but that was not allowed. We had sent representatives to England to speak to King George III on numerous occasions, only to be rebuffed and told to go away. There were many loyalists that wanted to remain loyal to the crown, but they were told, you go back, you just keep paying your taxes. Right to petition your government. The freedom of speech. To be able to stand up and say, wait a minute, this is not right. The freedom of the press. Boy, that's been abused, has it not? The freedom of the press is not the freedom to publish lies. The freedom of the press is to report about what the government is doing so that the government stays on the straight and narrow. That was the whole purpose of the freedom of the press. And what's the fifth one? Remember that one? Freedom of religion. Freedom of religion. Not to be forced to worship and to have a religion that was prescribed by the government, but rather according to conscience. Folks, that's been the freedom that has blessed our nation among nations. And you know what's happening to that principle of conscience? It's being taken apart brick by brick. God has granted to you liberty. Notice what we read in Psalm 119. This was one of the great passages of Scripture that our founding fathers built the Constitution, and as they made their Declaration of Independence well before the Constitution was ever written. So shall I keep thy law continually forever and ever, and I will walk at what? Liberty. What is liberty? Liberty is to do what pleases God. Liberty is to do what pleases God. Our Lord said, render unto Caesar the things that are Caesar, and unto God that are things that are God. And we ungrudgingly yield to government in obedience. But here's one thing that I want you to think about tonight. We will not yield what is God's unto government, unto Caesar. Now here's where Christians sometimes stop thinking. We will not yield what is God's unto Caesar. I think about the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul had his life ended. He was accused of insurrection against the Roman government. He had not said anything against the Roman government, but the Jews had caused quite a stir. And so he appealed to Caesar, and so he went to Caesar. And what happened to the Apostle Paul? He was given liberty for about 2 years to be able to go in and out of his cell. Basically was held under house arrest until his final time to go before Caesar. And then, to please the Jews, he was executed. He was killed. What was his wrongdoing? His wrongdoing was that he offended a people group with the gospel. Don't ever forget this, folks. And where are we in America today? You don't have the freedom to offend. Now, what does that harken back to? It harkens back to conscience. Don't you dare say that something's wrong or sinful. You're offending me by that. That's what happened to the Apostle Paul. In the first century Roman Empire, he was executed, he was beheaded because he offended a people group with the teaching of the truth of Christianity. And that's how he lost his life. Understand something. The principles that we enjoy in America are very rare. They are very precious. And the only way you can keep them is to shed your blood for them. You understand that? That's the only way we can keep them. Walk at liberty. At what price? At what price? Now, I'm not advocating revolution. I'm not advocating that at all. But what I am advocating is thinking. And people need to wake up. And we need to understand and know what's going on right now in our country. They're seeking to take an eraser and eliminate the First Amendment. They think we've already eliminated the Bible. Let's eliminate any kind of... So what have they done? They've changed the language from freedom of religion to freedom of what? What's the new word? Freedom of worship. You can worship God within the four walls of your church. But once you walk out these doors and you go into the parking lot, keep it to yourself. Let me ask you something. Is that freedom of conscience? No. Freedom of conscience is not only to worship God, to know God and to worship God, but to carry the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ to those who are lost so they might know God. That our boys and girls might be come to the knowledge of Jesus Christ. And what's happening is brick by brick, the freedom of conscience is being taken away. That's what we're seeing happen in the United States of America. This past year has revealed that over and over and over again with these cases that are being brought into federal court, with these cases that are being brought before the Supreme Court. It's conscience. They don't believe the general thought in our universities, the general thought in many of our circuits, the Ninth Circuit, especially over in the California and Oregon, that they don't believe in conscience rights. They don't believe in that. They believe you should be accepting not only of what the culture says, but you've got to say it's right. You've got to say it's fine. And freedom of conscience says, no, I have the freedom to believe what God says in His Word. And I have the freedom to live my life, and I have the freedom to be able to tell others about the glories of God's Word. Let me just say this, folks, and I think we need to be thinking and understanding where we're headed. This is going to move toward armed resistance against those who do not believe like the culture. This is where this is moving. What happened this week was a young man that went into a McDonald's and was assaulted because he had a Make America Great hat on his head. Now this boy, I don't know whether he's a believer or not, that doesn't matter. Someone saw the hat, was offended, took the boy's drink, poured it on him, snatched his hat away from him, pulling his hair out in the process. walking away, somebody filmed this, laughing about it. Now, the man was arrested. But what is that? It's resistance against freedom of conscience. Freedom of conscience. Now, we don't go out and attack people who believe differently than us. We ought not to go out and attack people that believe differently from us. God's not commanded us to do that. God expects us to love our fellow neighbor and to communicate the gospel. We have the liberty to do that. Look at Isaiah chapter 61 and verse 1 for just a moment. Here's another passage that shows us the liberty that we have in Jesus Christ. Isaiah 61, verse 1. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings. Who gives me the freedom to preach good tidings? God does, not the government. God does. To preach good tidings unto the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of our Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn. And it goes on there. Who grants us liberty? God does. Who takes away liberty? Men do. Don't ever forget that. These are just simple principles. But these are what our founding fathers wrestled through, studying God's Word. And they wrestled for this. They said, wait a minute. Our freedoms and liberties are granted by God. They're not granted by government. And if government refuses to listen to our petitions and refuses to allow us to worship according to conscience, then we've got a big problem. And we had to fight two major wars to be able to have that freedom. The Revolutionary War and the War of 1812. And you know what? Many of the people of England have written over the years, they're jealous of America. You know, in Great Britain, you're guilty until proven what? But not in the United States. Aren't you thankful that we're innocent until proven guilty? I'm so thankful for a simple principle like that. And it was the founding fathers' response to the tyranny of England. I think we as believers need to do some struggling to understand what religious liberty really is and what freedom of conscience is. You need to get into your Bible and you need to do some struggling and thought over the things which made our nation what it was, because we're losing our grip on the truth. And we've got young people that are growing up in this country who have no idea. They're being told they were awful white people that lived back then and they were to reject everything that they said. Is that not what they're being taught today? Oh, they were white supremacists. We have to reject everything that they said. Everything has to be through the lens of 21st century thought or lack of it. We better get a grip in the church today on what God has given to us. And we need to, first of all, be thankful. We ought to praise His name every morning when you get up and you put on your slippers and you go make a pot of coffee. You better be thanking God for every step that you were born in the United States of America, because it can slip away from us very quickly. It can slip away with one president and it can be gone forever. I'm thankful for what our founding fathers learned from the Word of God. Are you willing to take time to learn? We're going to take time. Some of our Sunday nights together, I'm going to work through this principle of conscience. Not in the same way that we did in a Sunday school lesson back several months ago talking about the conscience, but I want to talk about the freedom of conscience and what that means for us. And is it worth fighting for in order to maintain it and to keep it? What we've got to do is help our boys and girls and our young people to know what in the world we're talking about. What are we talking about? Because the vast majority of them really don't understand today. In our affluent America, where we can fly all over the world in a day or two, and we can see all the sights, we think, well, everything's going pretty good over on the other side of the world. Maybe it's not so bad for the government to provide everything for us. And what they don't understand is that's bondage. It's bondage. It's tyranny. I don't think anyone would want to go live in Cuba where there are no civil rights. But what's happening today is socialism is taking over. That's basically secular humanism. Socialism is taking over the mindset of so many. It's what's being taught in our public schools. And I pray for the United States of America. I pray that we might have a better understanding, because liberty is going to slip away from us. As we celebrate America's birthday, celebrate the freedom of conscience and study it in God's Word and learn for yourself what it stands for. Father in heaven, I thank you for the wisdom of our founding fathers. I thank you, dear Lord, for their understanding, because they searched the Scriptures. Oh, there were so many preachers back in the late 1600s and early 1700s that proclaimed the truth of the freedom of conscience. But we've gotten away from that these days. And we're willing to accept the nonsense that's proclaimed so much in our public school system. And we are detached from reality. I pray that you would help us, dear Lord, to get into your Word and to understand these wonderful truths that have made America what it's been. And I pray that you would be merciful to us and long-suffering. Pray that you would send an awakening to this land. We desperately need the Holy Spirit of God to work in hearts and lives. And it needs to start in the church. There needs to be radical awakening take place in hearts and lives so that we can understand the great founding truths of this country and the liberty that's been granted to us by Thee. Father, I pray that You'd work in our hearts and help us, Lord, to be students of Your Word, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.